Krishna Book, Canto 11, Jarasandha. This is Chapter 72, Scene 4, Version B. Jarasandha agrees to give charity to three mysterious brahmanas as told in the Mahabharata. Krishna, Arjuna, and Bhimasena traveled eastward for many days. At last, they came to Gorakha Hill, from where they could see Jarasandha's capital, Girivraja. Sitting amidst forest land, the city was beautiful with lakes and grazing cattle. Fine mansions and palaces shone from the center of the city, and five large hills covered with blossoming trees surrounded it. Krishna told the two Pandavas that this region had long ago been developed by Manu himself, the father of mankind. The largest of the five hills, Chaityaka, protected the city's main gate. Our three heroes ascended this hill and began to tear down its peak with their bare hands. They hurled boulders and created a landslide. At the foot of the hill was a massive drum made from the skin of a rakshasa that Jarasandha had slain himself. Having been struck once, the drum would vibrate for a full month, and Jarasandha had it continually sounded to warn anyone who even thought of attacking the city. But Arjuna and Krishna smashed the drum to pieces. Climbing down the hill, they climbed awkwardly, as if by scrambling over the wall surrounding the city in order to gain entrance. The guards stood back in surprise as the three apparent brahmanas made their unusual entrance. Bhima led them along the streets towards the king's palace. The three of them saw numerous attractive, well-stocked shops, and as they walked past the flower vendors, they snatched garlands and put them on. They strode into Jarasandha's palace and made their way to the central courtyard where the king was performing a sacrifice. Girivraja's learned brahmanas had been witnessing fearful omens portending calamity, and thus they had advised the king to fast and to perform sacrifice in order to ward off evil. As Jarasandha sat before the blazing fire, he saw three powerful men dressed as students, adorned with garlands, and they were approaching him. Accepting them as brahmanas, Jarasandha immediately rose to greet them. "You are welcome." Krishna then told the king that his two friends were observing a vow and would not speak until midnight. At that time, they would tell Jarasandha the purpose of their visit. Krishna knew that the king had himself made a vow that he would give to any brahmana whatever he was asked, even if the brahmana came at midnight. Jarasandha had them quartered in his palace, and he said he would visit them at midnight. That night, Jarasandha entered their room and worshipped his three guests with proper ceremonies, offering them gifts of milk-bearing cows. But his guests refused his worship and gifts. Then Krishna spoke, "O King, we have come seeking a special kind of charity from you, for you are famous for giving brahmanas whatever they want. For such a great man, there is no charity that cannot be given. Why, even the body may be sacrificed for a proper cause. Therefore, please grant us our request." Jarasandha looked at them closely. with their colorful robes and bright garlands. They did not look like any brahmanas he had ever seen. But as they had come to him in that guise and were asking charity, Jarasandha could not refuse. "I will give you whatever you may ask. However, you three do not appear to be brahmanas, dressed as you are and decorated with flowers. Your long arms, smeared with fragrant sandal paste, resemble tree trunks. Your hands carry scars from the bowstring. You tore down the peak of Chaityaka Hill and entered the city as enemies do, avoiding the gate. And you have also refused my worship. Such behavior befits an enemy. So I think you are Kshatriyas. Now, tell me honestly, for truth is the ornament even of kings." Krishna returned the king's icy stare with a smile. "Your observations are accurate, for we are not brahmanas. The student vow may be followed by kshatriyas as well as brahmanas, and you have surmised correctly that we are enemies. Thus, we have entered your city violently and have declined your worship. We have come to beg from you a duel." "I am surprised. I do not recall ever having done you any harm. Indeed, I am innocent of any crime. One who assails an innocent man receives sinful reactions which will send him to hell. I always observe the duties of my royal order, protecting the people and rendering them no harm. So why then do you see me as an enemy? O king, we represent one who desires to uphold the dignity of the royal line and establish religion throughout the world. How do you consider yourself religious when you have imprisoned so many kings numbering over 20,000? You even intend to offer them as human sacrifices to Rudra, to treat these kings as if they were beasts. Who could do such a thing except someone as sinful as you? You will certainly reap the results of your sinful acts, for the law of karma is infallible. Although you consider yourself without an equal, we will soon crush your pride. We wish to free those captive kings. Now, know from me to be Krishna, and these two others to be Bhima and Arjuna. Now, follow your Kshatriya duty and fight with us today. Either free the kings or go to the abode of Yamaraj himself." "I should have guessed it. My old enemy Krishna has come in disguise to try to kill me after failing so many times. What sin have I committed by capturing kings for the pleasure of Lord Shiva? I defeated all of them fair and square in battle. Therefore, it is my prerogative to do with them whatever I please. So I will not release them out of fear of you or these other two. I will fight, either by placing my troops in battle array or by standing alone against the three of you. Or if you prefer, I will fight whichever one of you most desires death at my hands."
Krishna looked at his two friends and then spoke.
"Jarasandha, it is your choice. Select any one of us for single combat and let that settle our dispute. You fools, if you want to fight with me,
then I immediately grant your request. But Krishna, I know that you are a coward, so I refuse to fight with you, because you become very confused when you face me in fighting. Out of fear of me, you left your own city, Mathura, and now you have taken shelter within the sea. Therefore, I must refuse to fight with you. And as far as Arjuna is concerned, I know that he is younger than me and is not an equal fighter. So I refuse to fight with him because Arjuna is not in any way an equal competitor. But as far as Bhimasen is concerned, I think he is a most suitable competitor to fight with me.
So it seems that although Jarasandha refused to fight Krishna, accusing him of being a coward, he completely forgot about the 17 previous times Krishna had destroyed his armies, leaving Jarasandha to return to his home embarrassed and humiliated, only to be convinced by his advisors to regroup and attack Krishna again and again. And so, Jarasandha preferred to fight with Bhima. Only Bhima seemed powerful enough. Bhima smiled grimly and clenched his fists. He furrowed his brows, glaring at Jarasandha. And so they agreed to meet at sunrise, and the king left to make preparations for the fight. Thus ends the version as told in Mahabharata. All glories to Krishna book. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gopinath, Gopinath, tumi to sakali paro, durjane chariche, chomara shakati, ke ache papira aro, Gopinath, 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 Gopinath.